Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Cabinet meeting of Monday of the 9th of December 2019. I will start with item number one, which is apologies for absence, and I can see we're all here, so we're all good. Item number two is declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest? None? Okay, brilliant, thank you. Item number three, I am going to defer to my colleague, Councillor Barker, as I wasn't present for the whole of that meeting.
Thank you, Leader. You've all seen the minutes. Is it your wish that I sign them as a true and correct record? Thank you. That's unanimous. Back to you, Leader.
I shall abstain from that. Okey-dokey. So item number four is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. And I don't believe we have any. No, we don't have any urgent business. So item number five is the forward plan. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of December right the way through to the 31st of March 2020. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the forward plan? No? Brilliant. Thank you. So item number six is the quarter two revenue and capital outturn 2019-20, and Sal to present.
Thank you, Leader. So this is the second quarterly report for the financial year 1920. It presents a forecast outturn position in relation to the usual areas of the revenue budget, capital programme, treasury and risk management activities. So overall, there is a forecast budgetary pressure of £93,000 for the full financial year against net budget of £10.6 million. One of the major reasons for this is the reduction in recycling income, which was identified as a key risk. And if needed, we can draw down from funding, which is earmarked in our reserves. The most significant variations are detailed in paragraph 2.2 and include underspends in HR and savings in community and open spaces. There's a reduction in the savings in planning, but still an overall saving of £42,000. And then there are cost pressures in the arts and brewhouse and function suite, as well as cost pressures in the environment section. There are detailed explanations which are provided in paragraph 4.2, and also within section 4, there's a usual summary by service against budget. And also there's a full schedule of variances attached at appendix A to the report. In terms of the capital programme, spending against capital plans of £4.7 million are set out within table 6.1, and at this stage there are no issues noted. There's further narrative provided in section 6, which also provides a list of the three capital receipts received during the year. In terms of treasury management, details on our investments and borrowing are provided in section 5 and in appendix B. And at the end of September, our borrowing stood at £11.2 million, with investment at £36.4 million. Investment returns have also been quite favourable. The report continues to highlight the risk associated with the timing of capital receipts, which have been allocated for debt repayments within the budget, and also how these are mitigated. In terms of risk management, Appendix C contains the more significant risks facing the Council, including actions identified to mitigate these. And the recommendations are detailed in Section 12. And on that note, Leader, happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Sal on that? No? Okay. Obviously, it's a concern that we are forecasting a budgetary pressure, although obviously it is less than 1% of an overall budget. And obviously we have discussed all of these numbers in detail. Everyone, I think, is clear and keen that we look to, whilst it is just a small budgetary pressure, that we look to try and close that gap across the services wherever we can. Anybody else got any comments on that? No. Okay. In which case, the recommendation is that we note the items under the recommendations under point 12. Are we happy to do that? Yep. Duly noted. Thank you. Thanks, all. Right. Item number 7 is the Corporate Plan Performance 2019-20 Quarter 2, and Chris to present.
Thank you. So as per every quarter, this report sets out progress against the delivery of the Council's corporate plan. So at this point in the year, there were 109 indicators in total for the three corporate priorities, and each has been graded in the usual way using the red, amber, green scoring system. So of the 109 targets, 95 were judged to be green, 2 at amber and 2 at red, with 10 not yet due to be reported on at this stage of the year. And of those 95 live targets, just over 95% green, 2% amber and 2% red. Section 5.3 details the split across all of the three priority areas, and also the full information can be seen in Appendix 1. By way of exception reporting, Section 5.4 of the report lists those indicators which are amber or red with an explanation as to why they are behind or off target. And the recommendation for Cabinet is to consider performance at the end of quarter two towards achieving the Council's three corporate priorities. I'm happy to take any questions, Leader.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on that or comments? No? Okay. Thank you. So the recommendation is to consider the performance. So shall consider it considered. Thank you. Right, item number 8. Thank you, Chris. Sorry. Item number 8 is the Disabled Facilities Grant Service Review. And Rachel.
Thank you. This report provides a review of the Disabled Facilities Grant Service and seeks approval for amendments to the Disabled Facilities Grants and Assistance Policy. The DFG service administers the full adaptation process, which has been designed to be as simple as possible, ensuring that cases are actively progressed to reduce delays. Since the initial setup of the in-house service, a number of significant challenges have arisen, including a significant increase of workload due to changes in social care and health, delays associated with cases inherited from the previous provider, difficulties gaining landlord permission for Trent and Dove properties, challenges associated with the original contract tender, additional specialist officer resources being required to assist complex works, and difficulties in sourcing funding for complex works that exceed the maximum £30,000 grant allowance. The performance of the DFG service has been continually monitored and corrective action taken for any challenges that have arisen. This has already reduced DFG process timescales from 318 days for cases handled by the previous provider to 218 days for cases handled by the in-house DFG team. And further changes, including newly approved contractors and a housing technical officer, will assist further reductions. However, these may not be reflected in the timescales for several months. The main challenge that remains relates to the funding arrangements for DFGs that exceed £30,000, and it is therefore proposed to increase the amount of assistance available through discretionary disabled facilities grants from £10,000 to £15,000. The adaptations policy is being amended to incorporate this change, along with clarification on the requirements for clients that wish to use their own contractors to undertake adaptation works. The recommendations are to approve the amendments to the Disabled Facilities Grants and Adaptations Policy and to note the report and the use of discretionary funding using the Disabled Facilities Grant Fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Any questions or comments on that? Again, obviously, we've discussed this matter at some length previously. So the recommendations are to approve the amendments to the policy, including an increase in discretionary funding from 10,000 to 15, and clarification on the requirements for clients that wish to use their own contractors to undertake adaptation works, and to note the report and the use of discretionary funding using the Disabled Facility Grant. Can I have a proposer for that? Councillor Faulkner and a seconder. Councillor Barker, thank you very much. All in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you very much, everybody, in which case I will close the meeting. Thank you.